Podcast.
Hello, David Miles again here. Hello, everybody. Where am I? Oh, I'm in the middle of Suffolk somewhere, in a small holding belonging to a friend of mine, and I've come to interview some sheep. You may think that's a mad thing to do, but that's the sort of thing I do. They're here in front of me somewhere. Sheep, come here, sheep. Hello. Ah, sheep, can you tell me what you're doing here in the middle of Suffolk, please? Any one of you can answer. Now, they don't seem to understand what I'm saying. Perhaps they don't understand English, coming from Scotland somewhere. We'll find out where they do come from in a minute. I'll ask their owner, I think. He may be able to provide the answers. I'll just try once more. I think their names, the sheep have got names, and I think they're called Daisy, Doris, and Baba. Baba might give you a clue as to what kind of sheep they are, because there was a nursery rhyme once which went something like, Baba, black sheep, have you any wool? So I understand they're black sheep. I'm not sure where they come from, but I'm going to ask Michael, their owner. I'm going to call him Michael because that's his name. Michael, hello.
Hello, David.
How are you?
I was just admiring Daisy trying to eat your microphone.
Oh, is she? Oh, dear.
So
I didn't realise they were that close. Never mind.
All right. Okay, so.
So where do these sheep come from then?
The sheep are called St Kilda sheep, and they are from the St Kilda area up in Scotland.
Yes. Is that in the Hebrides? Somewhere.
Yes, that's right. They are Hebridean breed. So, just how many sheep can I have on this land? There's 12. I can have 12 if it was open and the sheep were not going for slaughter. That's if they were to stay here permanently.
Yes.
But if they were commercial, then obviously that number would go much, much higher. The selected breed that you see, the black sheep, with two horns on.
Yeah, oh good, glad I didn't touch those.
The selected breed is in keeping with the Suffolk Wildlife's own use of this breed, due to their real toughness and the gentle temperament. They don't mind the rain, David. They're used to 60 millimetres of rain a year.
Goodness.
They have high quality breeding rams at the Suffolk Wildlife, and we're going to use them in due course. But again, with the best farming practices, the ewes, which these are, will not be bred until they are 2 years old. These are only 1 year old at the moment. The sheep all come from the island of Soya. The origins of the sheep, Soya sheep, are uncertain. The old Scandinavian name, Suria, sorry about the pronunciation, means island of sheep. So they were probably on that island around the 9th and 10th centuries, brought in by the Vikings. All Soya sheep in the world are descended from those found on the island of Soya in the St Kilda archipelago. No one knows when they arrived on St Kilda. Evidence suggests that they came with the first human settlers around 4,000 years ago, brought in, as I say, by the Norse people. But until 1932, purebred Soyas were only found on the island when a flock of 107 of them were rounded up and moved to the main island of Herta. Today, flocks of Soya sheep are found all over the world. Because of their gentleness, fantastic meat, apparently the mutton is fantastic after 2 years. But today, the unmanaged populations on Soya live on both Soya and Herta, where the population fluctuations have been interesting to the biologists that study them since the early 1950s. And that's about it for the sheep. As I say, they're in two paddocks. They're in the top paddock at the moment.
Yes.
Very, very short grass, but they just love it.
Have you got any more of those nuts that I can feed them with? Have you run out?
We'll have to go and get some more.
Doesn't matter.
Just try that. One.
I'm about to put my hand into the lion's cage, ladies and gentlemen. Here, sheep. Come on, sheep.
Her name's Daisy.
Daisy, come on, Daisy. Daisy. come and eat this one single nut that I can afford. Come on, Daisy. Lovely nuts.
I'm afraid she's more interested in the grass, though.
Oh, dear. I'll have to eat this nut myself, then. I'm going to eat it. It's your last chance. Now, where is she, anyway?
She's about 3 yards away from you now.
If I throw it, oh, it won't be any good, will it?
No, just drop it on the floor. They'll find it.
There you go. Right. So, what else have you got to interest me in this?
Well, with the sheep, the field is split into two sites, but with the sheep, we've created a special pond for the sheep. If you walk over this way, shall we walk over this way?
Oh, creating a pond, that's different. Most farmers want to fill them in.
Well, this isn't just a pond. This is what they call a dew pond. And a dew pond is the traditional way of managing sheep. So there's only one entrance in and one entrance out. And there's a little bridge going across it so that you can manage the sheep, make sure they get water and everything else.
Yeah.
And we do all sorts of things in there with the sheep.
Oh.
But the wildlife and everything else around the pond is all natural. So
sorry, I was just tripping over something there.
White stick.
Yep, carry on.
Okay, so here we are at the pond, and working with the Suffolk Wildlife Trust very closely.
Yes.
If we pass their stringent test, then we will be very honoured to have the great crested newt put here as a rescue animal.
Oh.
So that's great.
I used to have great crested newts in the pond where I used to live once many years ago. They're lovely creatures.
Yeah, they are very, very special. We've got lots and lots of frogs. We have fantastic toad spawn. We have a pair of mallard ducks for 8 weeks up here and enjoying the water. So it's really good.
So you, and what have you got any plants?
Plants?
At all?
Well, we've planted close on 1,000 trees. And 1,000 trees. They're made up of conifers.
Yes.
Apples, pears. Aces. What else we got? Olives, apples, plums, of course.
Yes.
Where else? We have the oak apple, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Lots and lots of natural chestnuts. The oak, this comes in two varieties, the small leaf and the big one. Lots of sycamores, plane trees. There's quite a big range of trees that we've planted. As I say, it will rise to over 1,000 this time next year.
Well, that'll be a lot.
So,
what about the pond, the dew pond?
The dew pond is, as I say, it's in a natural site. We had this site is what they call a medieval site.
Yes.
All the hedges and everything around here are over 300 years old.
Blimey.
And the dew pond is actually where an old pond was. We've seen on the Tyres map where the pond was.
Yes.
And we've just, there's a dent in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the proper name for it is. But that's where we've redug it and that's where we've put it back. So that's it.
Lovely.
The interesting thing is now that the Suffolk Wildlife Trust have worked so hard up here with us, we've now created all the way around the edges of the field log piles. And these log piles are very special because we have what they call the common lizard there. And the common lizard's not so common. And this is a release site for common lizards now. We have 16.
That you know of.
Well, we have 16 that have been released here, and six of them are what they call gravid females, which means they're about to lay babies.
Yes, I was wondering about that.
They're really, really excited about what happens next spring.
So will you know when that's happened?
The guy who's responsible for the lizards,
yes,
in particular, is a crazy guy called George Mullins,
yes,
who is a Suffolk Wildlife expert on lizards. And another guy who's been helping out is a guy called Adrian Waters, who is probably known for his work down the Stour Valley and all that sort of stuff. But he's a conservation advisor from the Suffolk Wildlife.
So even if you fail to spot the...
Oh, I can't spot them. I do know how to spot them now.
Yes.
But George is like, he's unbelievable. That's why he's the lizard man. He can spot them a mile away.
He'll know exactly when all these little ones are being born then.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no guesswork involved.
No. So, with their help, George and Adrian, this is now called a privately farmed nature reserve.
Yeah.
And it's all part of the government's biodiversity and geological conservation plan under the National Environment and Rural Communities Act 2006. But it's really important because the planning people and the councils all have to take note now that we must increase our biodiversity. Mm-hmm. And we've increased the biodiversity here over 1,000% already. So it's really terrific. And of course, the other conservation animal that we're really interested in is the gold mouse.
I haven't heard of that.
It's either the gold mouse or the ginger mouse, but we all call it the common field mouse.
Oh, yes.
But of course, the common field mouse is quite rare.
Mm-hmm.
And we create a special island in the middle of the field where they're going to be released into and encouraged as well.
Yes.
We have, of course, the three field bowls here as well. Okay. So other plans. I suppose the other plans we should talk about is another dear little thing up here. A special lady introduced me to her family.
Mm-hmm.
She's a plan's about 9 inches tall. She had 14 babies with her.
She's trying to guess what it is. A pheasant.
No,
not a pheasant. No,
a bit bigger than 9 inches.
Oh.
No, this is a partridge.
Oh.
And it's not the red leg type, because they're French.
Yes.
But it's the English partridge, which is very rare.
Oh.
And we're working with the Game Conservancy Trust. We're trying to establish, if it's possible, to release English partridges that you've bred.
Yeah.
Into the wild, and whether or not they can survive.
Continue to survive.
I know it's controversial to let gun clubs and everything else work with conservationists, but that's how it really is. They're working really hard to protect the English partridge. And to that end, we're building an electrified fence off area where 11 chickens will go, and where partridges will go in there with them. And then working with the trust, we'll release them and see what happens and count them, which is what we're involved in anyway.
We
count partridges on all the fields around here. So, we've done very well. We had one pair. We had two pairs the first year, none the second year.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we've had one pair. She had 12, one pair. But we only found one female with 12 young, so that was really lovely.
Oh, right.
And if you ever see something that's about an inch and a half long trying to get through grass that is nearly 3 foot tall, very thick, it's an amazing sight.
Yeah.
The mother, it's just a fantastic sight, that's all.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, good. Well, that was a sound I hadn't heard for a long while. A slow moving aeroplane. Crossing the sky on a nice summer's day. That takes me back a few years, that does. I suppose that's because I live in a town now. I don't hear that sort of thing very often.
Yeah.
Where are we off to now then?
Well, we're going to go and have a sit down in our bus shelter.
Oh.
They call it the bus shelter, all the people that come up here.
Yeah.
I have students come up here, and I also have different people, different members of the public, family and friends. And they come up for different reasons.
To relax mostly, I should think.
Well, some come up to relax and
or
some...
Or work.
Yeah, or work. So it's with their help that the grass is managed and the trees have been planted and watered and all that sort of stuff. But the other side of it is that the students who I teach study either Buddhism or Tai Chi. And I also do mentoring to people with different problems, from drug addicts to drink-related problems to family problems, health problems, and that sort of stuff. Not a great deal, but we do something like 4 or 5 people each year.
Yes.
Come through the entrance now.
What was that?
We can sit amongst the trees. There's a little seat here in the centre. We're in the where the field mice are going to be conserved.
Oh, I see.
And this is a special area.
Ah, oh, yes. What's that behind me?
That's a...
Oh, a bush.
Yes, it's a very large conifer tree.
Oh, right.
So...
this is nice.
Yeah, this is a really special area. So this is really lovely. What we've got in front of us is a dome-like sculpture made out of willow trees. Right. Underneath that, there is some golden beech. And then underneath that, there are some short, small conifers. And then there's this magic stuff called privet, golden privet.
Yeah.
That the field mice apparently love. They just love running in amongst all the privet and up the trees. It's a fantastic little play area for them.
Oh.
And it's about something approaching 10 metres square. So
have they been introduced yet, or are they naturally there?
No, we have got two that we have seen. So you have to. There's a big board, and people write down what animals they see from time to time.
Yes.
We had a beautiful duet going on in the sky over us last week. That had only been seen by a handful of people, but now, fortunately, it happened when the group of us are here. This is, we call him the old man. He's a huge, huge old heron that comes over here, and he tries to take the young rooks and stuff out of the nest, and then one of the rooks is brave enough to take him on in the air. And when you see this aerial battle going on between the rook, which looks tiny against a giant heron, it's absolutely fantastic. And that goes on, that can last sort of 15, 20 minutes. It's a really fascinating battle of wits.
Yes.
But this is what we're seeing. So we have all sorts up here. We've had buzzards, we've had sparrowhawks, kestrels. There's a whole list of birds and wildlife. And a mother fox brought her two babies over that we probably fed last year.
Oh, I see. With your chickens.
With the chickens. Well, hopefully the electrified fence will sort them out this year.
Yes.
So strange though it may seem that Tai Chi and Buddhism really do go together. Certainly in China, there's many, many Buddhists in China where Tai Chi has come from. But the Tai Chi form that I practice is known as Wu style Tai Chi Chuan. And that's under the tuition of a friend of mine called Ma Jianbao, who's regarded as one of the best teachers in China. He's a very well-respected master of Tai Chi. This form has retained all the arts of Tai Chi Chuan, the short form, the long form, both being empty hands, the sabre, spear, and straight sword, and, of course, the very rare fast form. And the fast form is empty hands. And what we do is we practice here.
When the weather's right.
We practice in all weathers, really. And we hope that the exercise area will be part of where the chickens are. So chickens and Tai Chi will go together.
All right.
But my Buddhist practice, they include the meditation, chanting, and studies of teaching of the Buddha, with special interest in the Buddha Vista Tara. It is this combination of martial arts, meditation, sports training, and mentoring that I use to help other people. And so with the experts that we've consulted and the government advice and family and friends, what you see is what you get. I mean, in your case, you can just feel it and touch it.
Yes, I can't see anything.
Can't see anything.
I feel nothing at the moment.
The field in its development is finished, really. All I have to do is maintain it and wait and see if the actions I've taken comes to fruition. For the benefit of both wildlife and my family and friends, as well as helping the community that we live in. Hence the Tara Foundation's motto, for those whose lives we share. A lot has been done in over 2 years, and there's a little bit more to do, but with a little bit of help, it's almost finished. So very nice.
Oh, that's good. Yes, I've walking around here, I've felt a lot of bushes attacking me as I go by. So I know you've planted a lot of bushes and trees, and that's all hard work, all mostly done now. Do you grow any vegetables at all in the
No, space? we don't grow any vegetables. It'd be just fruit.
Fruit. Yeah, vegetables. I'm going to call them eatables then. Eatables. Not veg eatables, just eatables.
Okay.
When will they be ready? When can I come round?
Well, there's a few apples nearly ready, but not quite.
And I expect the sheep will be eating those.
And the sheep will be eating the apples. They have a handful of nuts and one apple between three sheep every morning.
Oh, wow.
And they are now trained to the bucket, so there's no chance. We've got no chance of catching them very easily.
No.
So we just train them to come to the bucket, and then we can lead them where we want to go. So it's quite nice, really. Oh,
yeah, that's very good. So now, I enjoyed them eating out of my hand, the nuts that you gave me.
But you were very nervous about that.
Well, they were so gentle. I didn't expect them to be so gentle. I thought I'd feel their teeth nibbling me, but...
Well, if you saw the size of their horns, the horns are about 9 inches to a foot long.
Yes.
And they curve back and round. And they look quite ferocious.
Yeah.
They are well known for their timidness and their hardiness.
Yes.
And very gentle. These sheep, the ewes, don't have many problems. They have the biggest hips out of all the sheep, so they give birth very easily.
Yes.
They don't have very many problems at all. We just got to spray them every 8 weeks for fly strike. And they have a mixture of hair and wool. And they are what they call self-shearing sheep. But of course, we will get them sheared once a year.
When the time is
The time is right. A lot to learn about sheep yet, though.
Yes, so have I.
Yeah.
I must say.
But Daisy is...
Those ones are very gentle, that's all I can say.
Yeah, Daisy is brilliant. She's absolutely fantastic.
Yes. Oh, good.
Yeah, so we've introduced a lovely story about the sheep. Is we had a special niece family up here, and her son has short-term memory problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I took him in with the sheep, and we fed the sheep and all that, and they had a picnic.
Mm-hmm.
And while they introduced, they said to me, would you come and have the picnic with us? So we sat around the table and all that sort of stuff. And during the picnic, I said to this young man, tell Mum and Dad what you did this morning. And they looked. And so I said, oh, we fed the sheep. And I said, well, what are lady sheep's called? And he said, you, and laughed, of course, because you and you, this to a small child, is quite you and you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what did you do with the sheep? We fed the sheep from the bucket, and we ran away, and they chased us, he said. You know, that is a little bit of magic, because that's what this place is all about. This boy has never, that was the first time he's ever recalled anything. Because when he goes to school, he has a class, and he's separated from the class, and he has 45 minutes tuition one-to-one, and then he goes back into the group, and they have to ask him what he did with the one-to-one, and he can never tell them. But here, he had an experience with Daisy and the other sheep, and he sat down and told his mum and dad. They were nearly in tears. That's the other side of this place, which is a little bit special.
Well, that's very special, yes. Ah, well, that's very good. So, I think my stomach is rumbling, Michael.
So you're going to have you're going to have a meal now, David, that you had, the last meal you had when you could see.
When I could see, yes.
What's that meal?
What was it, grass? No. No, I'll leave that for the sheep. I'll go and have some chicken, I think.
That's right. Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Kentucky Fried Chicken, yes. I haven't had that since 2001, when I could still see a bit, yeah. Okay, right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. And we're going to get on our way now. And I'll catch you all next time. So it's David Miles at bw2k@compuserve.com signing off. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.